ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 2, text number 29, chapter titled Maharaj Nimi Meets the Nine Yogendras. So, word meanings, Durlabha, difficult to achieve, Manushya, human, Deha, body, Dehinam, for the embodied beings, Shana, Bhangara, Shana Bandaro, prone to destroy at any moment, prone to be destroyed at any moment, Tatra, in that human body, Api even, Durlabham, more difficult to achieve, Manye, I consider, Vaikuntha Priya, of those who are dear to the Supreme Lord, Vaikuntha, Darshanam, the vision. Durlabho manaso deho, dehinam kshana bhangura, tathapi durlabham manye, vaikuntha priya darshanam, durlabho manaso deho, Dehinam Shana Bangara, Tatrapi Dulabham Manye, Vaikuntha Priya Darshanam. Ladies. Gopal, do you want to chant on your birthday? Okay. Oh, you're embarrassing the poor boy. Thank you. Very good. Translation. The conditioned souls For the conditioned souls, the human body is most difficult to achieve, and it can be lost at any moment. But I think that even those who have achieved human life rarely gain the association of pure devotees who are very dear to the Lord of Vaikuntha. So this verse has a long purport. So what I would propose to do this morning is to focus on the second half. There are two parts, basically two main themes that are covered in the purport. The first part of the purport covers the value of human life and how it's wasted. And the second part covers the value of human life and how to benefit from it. So I would propose that we focus on the second half of the purport, the value of human life and how to benefit from it. And so I'll read from the purport, picking up from when the transition makes, which is beginning with the paragraph. Those who accept the Supreme Lord and his abode as the ultimate goal of life are called Vaikuntha Priya. Here, King Nimi states that to have the personal association of such learned transcendentalists is certainly the perfection of human life. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur suggests that we consider the following verse. Nadehamadya sulabham sudurabham lavam sukatam virkanadaram nahilena naravsharam umam vavabhayam kare atmaha. The Supreme Lord said, the best of bodies, a human body, is a great attainment rarely achieved and may be compared to a boat. The Guru is an expert captain for this boat, and I have sent favorable winds, the Vedas. Thus I have given all facility for crossing over the ocean of material existence. Any human being who has achieved these excellent facilities of human life but does not cross over the material ocean is to be considered a killer of his own self. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.20, text 17. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the eternal servants of the Supreme Lord, being controlled by powerful feelings of mercy, descend into the material world as Vaishnavas to deliver the conditioned souls who are bound by the results of their own mundane work. Such Vaishnavas also distribute their mercy to those who are laboriously searching after the impersonal absolute. Sri Narada Muni has stated that without ecstatic love of Godhead, such laborious impersonal contemplation of the absolute is certainly troublesome. Naiskarmya api achyuta bhava varjitam. And what to speak of the innumerable problems of ordinary gross materialistic life? We have practical experience that in the Western countries, most people are working hard to get money, laboring under heavenly dreams of sense gratification. Others, having become frustrated with ordinary materialistic life, are trying to negate their personal existence and merge into the existence of God through so-called yoga and meditation. Both classes of unhappy people are receiving the mercy of the Krishna consciousness movement, putting aside their dreams of sense gratification, as well as their troublesome impersonal speculation. They are learning to chant the holy names of God, dance in ecstasy, and feast on the holy food offered to the Lord. They become enlivened by transcendental knowledge spoken by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 9:2, Sukram Kartam Avriyam. The actual process of spiritual freedom is joyful to perform and has nothing to do with fruitive activities aimed at sense gratification or dry impersonal speculation. More and more people are taking to the process of Krishna consciousness, having become joyful and eagerly distributing Krishna's mercy to others. Thus the whole world will be enlivened and inspired by the Krishna consciousness movement, which is the practical demonstration of the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Yuvitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. So I believe that we're all familiar with the term paradukaduki. But I'd like to explore the meaning of that term a little bit today and talk in general about the subject of compassion. So I'll begin by asking a question. What does paradukha dukhi mean? Okay, he feels other sufferings. Okay, any other meanings?
Naturally comes.
Okay.
Because they see they have a relationship with Krishna and they are not getting the happiness that he is experiencing.
Okay, so one is experiencing happiness himself, and then that's such a great experience that he feels upset or distressed that others aren't also experiencing that. Yes, okay. Any other perspectives on this word? I mean, obviously, a definition. We could take a definition just of the Sanskrit words and come up with something. But I think that there are implications of these words that also fill out the meaning of it. And so that's what we're looking for here.
Yeah, also, there is one more meaning, though.
Okay.
There's a famous verse. Tappanti, tappanti, tappanti lukatapena vivit. No, not that one. Sadhava prayaso jana. Parama aradhanam tadhi, the highest form of worship which pleases Krishna is actually for those devotees who voluntarily take some pain for the welfare of others.
Okay, that's a good addition. Taking pain oneself for the welfare of others. Yeah, I think all of these are definitions of these words, paradukha dukhi. I have a couple here which may repeat what you said, that I think are good to review. The first one I got from a website that was talking about book distribution. And so that's often a motivation for those that distribute Prabhupada's literatures in public. And so here's the definition that's given there. A Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. In other words, he has no personal troubles, but he is very unhappy to see others in trouble. And then it concludes by saying, the duty of all sane men is to save them. The duty of all sane men is to save them. So it adds this component of, to the definition, it adds a component of some action, that one takes some action. It's not just limited to feelings, although feelings are obviously, they motivate us to action, but duty. And this verse that's in the purport here that we quote from the 11th canto, 20th chapter, about the captain of the ship, if we consider that verse in terms of paradukha dukhi, it also gives the implication of taking responsibilities for others. So duty is one thing, taking responsibility for others is another way. And naturally, the feelings that are there of unhappiness on the part of a devotee. My wife and I were just talking on the way to the temple this morning about emotions in Krishna consciousness. And actually, our emotions lead us, they direct us on the path of bhakti, progressively toward Krishna. Of course, emotions can take us away from Krishna too. So we have to judge and manage our emotions, not that we become just emotional beings. We have to manage our emotions, but one of the first emotions that we can feel very strongly that takes us in the right direction in Krishna consciousness is what? Compassion, yeah. Compassion, when we look and see others, paradukha dukhi, we have an emotional reaction. I want to do something to help. Prabhupada challenged, he said, how can you be happy? How can you be happy? He's talking to his disciples here. How can you be happy seeing the sufferings that others are undergoing? And so it's an opportunity for us to feel a strong emotion in Krishna consciousness that takes us in the right direction. This idea of para dukkha dukkhi. Actually, there are three levels of spiritual communication that involve compassion. The first step is understanding. Jivanath Prabhu was telling the story of Arjuna and Sankirtan together a couple weeks ago. And he was telling how, I don't remember it like that, I just remember being frustrated in a lot, not necessarily lending the ear to somebody, but since he said I was lending an ear to somebody on Sankirtan, that's sometimes what we do. We go and we hear from people. People want to express themselves, especially when they're in distress. And so when they come across a devotee of the Lord, then they often want to tell their miseries. So we may try to give them a little time. We don't want to waste our time in the service of the Lord. We may give them a little time to hear. And this is the first step in spiritual communication. First opportunity for someone who's suffering in this material world to get out. And that is by being able to communicate their feelings. We need to give them an ear. The second step is compassion. Compassion helps to diminish the problems and to raise happiness in an individual. So we want to be compassionate, and this paradukha dukkhi is emblematic of the compassion that a devotee has. But this is only one of four ways that we can relate to other spirit souls. There's paradukha dukkhi, which we've been describing the meaning of, but there's also three others. Parasukha dukkhi. What does that mean? Parasukha dukkhi. Yes, this is obviously the lowest level. Happiness at others' misery. If someone is happy, I'm sad. We may have experienced it. We may feel it in our own hearts and to different degrees. But there's a progression that we have to move beyond. So this parasukha dukkhi, happiness at others' distress, is obviously something, one of those currents of emotion that we want to avoid. We don't want to take that path, let our emotions go down that path of being happy at the distress of others. Now there's a second category, and it's para dukkha sukhi. Para dukkha sukhi. It's kind of worse than that. Para dukkha sukhi. Not only if someone's happy. Someone is happy at the sufferings of others, but he's an active wrongdoer. He actually tries to destroy the happiness of others. He sees them happy, he actually tries to interfere with that, to make them join him in misery. And again, I think we've either seen or ourselves felt these kind of emotions, so obviously we want to avoid that one. That's kind of like the worst one. So then there's para dukkha dukkhi, and that's the one we're familiar with, that the sufferings of others are sufferings for me. This is real compassion. But then there's another stage beyond that, which is para sukha sukhi, in which I'm happy when others are happy. I share in their joy, especially in spiritual life. Because in spiritual life, we're interacting with the devotees of the Lord, not necessarily those who are yet to take to the path of Krishna consciousness. And particularly in that association, we should be happy to see the advancement of others, and not that that makes us miserable or envious in some way or another. We should be happy to see others advancing. Now that's something that may take us some time to work on. We're so used to this material world of being envious and tearing down others in terms of spiritual life, to see someone advancing nicely sometimes causes the worst to come out in us. But communication, compassion, and then affection. We should have affection for the Vaishnavas and affection for others in general. This will stand out in our character. And that's the lesson in the verse here today. Maharaj Nimi, he's seeing the nine yogendras. And they haven't spoken to him. They haven't given any instruction yet. He's just seeing them. And then he can tell just by seeing from them that they are Vaikuntha Priya. Just by seeing. Oh, this person, there's something different about this person. There's something approachable here. I can approach this person. This person can be merciful and will be merciful to me. That's the character of a Vaishnava, a Vaikuntha Priya, that they display this. And we have to be a little appreciative to understand it. Last night they started the Nectar Devotion series, which I hope goes on for several months and gets to points in the instruction about how to become Rasika Bhaktas. Rasika Bhakta here, I'm referring to today, means able to appreciate that someone's Vaikuntha Priya. Just that. There are other, obviously, more advanced topics that come under this heading of being a Rasika Bhakta. But we have to be Rasika in that we understand that, oh, this person is an advanced spirit soul. It may not be completely obvious when we look at someone. We might look at them, well, my point is it should be obvious when we look at them. But we have to be trained. We have to have the correct vision, the correct mentality. Then we'll recognize such. And that's to one degree, maybe a small degree, but that's being Rasika, being able to appreciate the mercy, the kindness, the Krishna consciousness of others, and to take advantage of that, to come forward and take advantage of that. So this is affection. Vaikuntha Priyas, they carry this affection around with them, and it's recognizable by others, and they make themselves approachable. This is compassion versus sentiment. And there's also sentiment. And what's the difference between compassion and sentiment?
What I understand so far from the Lombard is a conscious consciously aware of the suffering of the others, and natural flow of tenderness from the heart of the advanced devotee goes to rescue or help them.
Okay. Yeah, a natural compassion coming from the heart. That differs from sentiment in that sometimes sentiment is sort of short-lived. It comes and goes. You know, I have a sentiment, I have a good feeling about somebody or something or someone, but the next moment it goes away. Whereas compassion that's coming from the soul, as Sri Govinda is explaining, is a more permanent kind of bhava or state of existence. That's what we're striving for in Krishna consciousness, to have this type of compassion that endures. It endures not only over a period of time, but through different trials and tribulations that we may face. We don't give it up, but we hold on to it very strongly. So that's the difference between compassion and sentiment. Now, I have another question here for all of you on this subject of compassion. And that is compassion quantifiable or measurable? And I ask this because we've been speaking of compassion in terms of feelings. Yesterday, during Pushkar Prabhu's class, he also gave a very nice explanation of how compassionate people like these Vaikuntha Priyas, they are Parivajakacharyas, they're traveling, traveling, wandering. So if someone is wandering, it's hard to quantify them, isn't it? I mean, feelings are hard to quantify or measure. And if someone's wandering, they're here today, but they're gone someplace else tomorrow, it's also hard to measure the effect. So my question to you is compassion measurable or quantifiable? Janmasu?
I would say yes. One is that if someone is just driven to help others, you know, with their spiritual lives, that's one measurable aspect. You know, Srila Prabhupada just nonstop, always preaching, always trying to help. And another measure of that, because the deeper it goes, this is actually a function of bhakti. It naturally awakens, and it awakens more and more and more advances. So with that awakening also comes the shakti to inspire the development of bhakti in the heart of those that one's trying to help. So Prabhupada, it's in the CC, probably Pram Govinda or Pushkar will know which verse, but I think, if I remember correctly, Prabhupada citing Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the judge a person's advancement by how many books he's written, something like that, and also how many devotees he's made. And there might be one other factor. My memory fails me on that. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, Shakta Vesha Avatar, but it was based upon his compassion and his love. Vishwanath Chakri Thakur in Madhuya Kandambini, you know, he describes that the sprouting of the seed of bhakti comes about by the prayers of the Vaishnava. You know, so that's how it comes into the heart. Mm-hmm. You know, so this prayerful or compassionate mood of the devotee is why we're here today, because Prabhupada had this compassion. Yeah.
Constant endeavor is something we can manage, although if it's a part of the Jatacharya, you might not be able to measure constant, because it's travel, he's not there.
Well, how many miles he's logged on the airlines, you know?
Okay, well, there you go. There you go, something measurable. How many miles they've logged on their
Jaipataka Swami's got the world, he's in the Guinness World Book of Records.
Okay, just a minute, though. Let me just cover what he said, the constant endeavor. And he mentioned some things which, particularly in our sampradaya, are important. Like, when we glorify Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of the things we say is that he opened 108 temples in India, or something like that. 64 Gaudiya Mathas in India. So Prabhupada presents that to us as an achievement of his spiritual master. But it's not just a mundane achievement. It's not, because it's like the Vaikuntha Priyas are given a place where they can stay and render service and deliver persons from the world. Even Prabhupada himself, he says, I think he says in his books that a Vaishnava is known by how many other Vaishnavas he's created. So it's not just counting numbers. This is the point about being Rasika. We have to understand what's going on. Understand it in spiritual terms. Understand it in terms of the spiritual emotions that are necessary. The hard work that was done by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and all the members of the Gaudiya Math, by Srila Prabhupada and all the members of ISKCON, the hard work that was done to accomplish things which may look material when we're quantifying them. I have the list here on the 50th anniversary, and I want to read you some of the quantifiable things. But these aren't like just mundane numbers. They're the result of heartfelt endeavor and sacrifice on the part of the devotees of the Lord. Now this, before I get into the numbers about ISKCON, I want to just let you know that this is also part of our sampradaya, is part of our teachings that we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita and in Srimad Bhagavatam. First we look at Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he analyzed very carefully how people can waste their human form of life, which is the first half of the purport we didn't read. You have so many years in a human life. You waste 50 years by sleeping. Of the 50 years that you have left, you waste 10-15 years playing as a child. If at the end of 15-20 years, you're old, you can't do anything. So he analyzed in a very quantifiable way how much time you have. And what was his conclusion? Is that you should take to Krishna consciousness and execute that right away. 20 years in the beginning and 20 years at the end. It's described there in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Prabhupada, when Prahlad Maharaj is speaking, he says he's speaking concerned with love. That is there, and he gives a thing. He's concerned with love for the conditioned souls. And so he's experiencing it not just as a numbers game, but with love. And then there's the example of Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, who would go out every day and preaching, and when they came back at night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would ask them for a report. How was the preaching today? What happened? Give me some results. He was interested in getting those results. In other words, it was quantifiable. The endeavor of compassion is and should be measurable. And therefore we can set goals for ourselves individually, set goals for our temples, set goals for our society. And we've kind of done that in the 50th anniversary. This magazine here lists some of the numbers. 50 years of achievements. I'll just read a couple. 516 million books and magazines published by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust and distributed worldwide since 1966. Quite amazing. 9 million is the estimated number of people who worship in ISKCON temples each year. Patients treated last year at Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Mumbai. 212,000 260,000 miles or kilometers walked by Padyatra since its inception. It's almost 6.5 times the Earth's circumference. A 110 Hare Krishna vegetarian restaurants worldwide, 3,600 home study bhakti riksha groups worldwide, 3 billion meals of sanctified food distributed globally since 1966. 650 ISKCON centers, temple schools, and colleges worldwide. So again, these things, we shouldn't view them in a mundane way. They're the result of heartfelt compassion and sacrifice on the part of devotees. And they're quantifiable. This is part of dukkha dukkhi. So, any questions or comments anyone has?
Bhakti Sanjaya Saraswati had a command that every member of the Gaudiya Math should be prepared to give up 200 gallons of blood for the corpus of every individual, every living entity, the entire universe, or something to that effect. Kunda, you remember that exact quote? 200 gallons of blood for each living entity. So that's a lot of blood. If anyone has 200 gallons, first of all.
Well, I think it's using a quantifiable a measurement to show how much desire and feeling should be put into doing. I don't think there are 200 pounds of blood in each individual, but it shows how much effort we should be willing to put. Janasana?
One of the best ways to accelerate the spreading of compassion is by cooperating. This is something that we've seen. You know, there's evidence with temples that have a very cooperative mood, and the devotees work well together. It's amazing. You know, like you look at Chopati or Pune, now Calcutta, just an incredible level of expansion and recruitment. So, and that's how it works.
Yeah, well, these four things I gave, paradukha dukkhi, paradukha sukhi, all those four things, they very much affect how much we can cooperate, because they determine how we orientate ourselves to other people or other devotees. If we can orient ourselves paradukha dukkhi towards other devotees and the public in general, then we can accomplish much more than if we're doing parasukha dukkhi, etc.
You look at Prabhupada's statement too, you know, that you can show your love for me, but how well you keep this, how well you cooperate to keep this institution intact.
Mm.
One of his last instructions to it.
Anything else anyone has to add? Yes, Prabhu.
Second is compassion, third is affection.
Yes.
I'm very, very much actually attracted to this. Where is it coming from?
Different readings that I have come across. Different readings.
And the rest you put together. Very nice. Thank you.
Well, I didn't put it together. Everything comes from different readings. I'm not taking credit for anything.
No, but the way he put it is like a systematic, very nice. Understanding, compassion, affection. Thank you.
Anything else? Yes? Can I talk to you?
Thank you. I like the way that you asked what's the difference between a sentiment and compassion, and that they pointed out that compassion is a true feeling that comes from the heart. But sentiment, the word itself means like senses and mental. So it's like a more like a whim that's coming from the mind, you know.
Mm. Okay, yeah, it was more like a whim. It was more superficial, you could say. It's mental and sense, you know, more a superficial kind of experience than a heartfelt one. Okay, thank you. Welcome to
trying to see how it's applicable actually to myself. I can't speak for all devotees, but Jiva Goswami was explaining, he was trying to describe the qualities of a Madhyamadhikari devotee, and among them is to be compassionate or show mercy to the innocent. And the example that's given in Sandarbha is about showing compassion, because that description of Madhyamadhikara is actually a pure devotee. It's not like Madhyamadhikara we think of normally. So he was saying that one of the examples that he gave was that even though Prahlad Maharaj should not have preached under the description of a Madhyamadhikari, he should not have preached to his father, because his father was obviously envious, so he should have shown him neglect. But he was saying that in the heart of a pure devotee, that compassion becomes so strong, it overrides the rule of even sastra.
Mm.
So, like in the case of Srila Prabhupada, who has realized everything, he's living in the rasa stali of Vrindavan, which is Radha Damodar temple. He has direct darshan, according to many accounts, directly of both Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami on a daily basis. So against all logic and reason, against all sastra even, which says one should never leave Vrindavan, the force of compassion in a pure devotee made him go against all of that, not to come to Fifth Avenue or Park Avenue, but to the Bowery.
Hmm.
So it's not possible to understand how to digest what is that compassion. So we can show appreciation to Srila Prabhupada by our preaching everything, but that kind of compassion is really the byproduct of pure devotion.
Right. It says here in the purport that according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the eternal service of the Supreme Lord, being controlled by powerful feelings of mercy, ascend to the material world as Vaishnavas to deliver the conditioned souls. So powerful powerful feelings of mercy, you know, that's you know, what you're referring to. Thank you, Phil.
Adipo. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that he talks about nonviolence, and he says that to be nonviolent means that you have to give spiritual knowledge to the jiva. Otherwise, if you don't do that, you're practicing violence. So he takes the paradukha-dukha even farther, that you don't want to be violent to the others. So if you don't want to be violent to them, you have to preach to them.
Mm.
Also, Bhaktisiddhanta said each devotee should knock on at least 6 doors every day.
Okay, there you go.
You can try that. You can add that to your schedule.
Okay. Grantarashimat Bhagavatam to you.
Thank you.